T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game. You're home for Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. And as we count down to the big game, 2.5 weeks away at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, there's news about the Falcons this morning. A couple of big pieces of news about the Falcons. And of course, we'll just reiterate this. When we talk about, and there's really not a whole lot to talk about with Tack McKinley, but when we talk of Tack McKinley today, at least not at this point, and it's only not even 4 in the morning in Los Angeles, it may be much later today if we find out anything at all. And we may, and Hugh, we might not find out anything at all.
Not today. And I would think, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm pretty sure that whatever is found out, that it's going to be in confidence, or it should be in confidence. So as long as it's something that it's not, he didn't get in any trouble or he didn't hurt anybody, harm anybody, it should be his business.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely should be his business. And, you know, when the story broke, I started kind of texting back and forth with, tweeting back and forth with Vaughn McClure of ESPN, who covers the Falcons. And he reminded me, he's right, by the way, Vaughn McClure's right, HIPAA laws. And I went, oh, yep, that's it. The HIPAA health laws, we may never find out what this incident was about, okay? Never.
And which it should be. That's what it should be. I mean, honestly, if it's mental health and it's something that he's dealing with, then that's his business. I mean, you know, if he's going through something and he has to get help and it's something that's ongoing, that's his business. And he should be able to correct his life and live a productive life and still be able to play football and nobody judge him. That's how it should be. And that, but you know, hopefully that's what it is. Hopefully at the end of the day, when we do find out or we don't find out, that's all that it is.
So just to keep in mind, when you go into work, and if you've got, you know, you get accosted at the water cooler, so to speak, when you get into work this morning, and some guy wants to talk to you about how Tack got arrested last night in Los Angeles. He did not, and I can't stress enough, not get arrested, okay?
You know, John, you can say that till you blue in the face. Somebody's still going to sit there. It's going to still be a conversation that's going to be had, and he's going to be arrested because police were involved. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, you know, we sit here and we try to get people to be responsible in telling stories, but it's always lost in translation. And as the story evolves and as we get to talking about it more, it's going to always be he got arrested, even though that's not the case. That's not what the story says. Because somebody was telling me this morning on the four letter that it said at the bottom of their ticker that he was arrested.
Oh my gosh, really?
That I don't know this for sure,
man.
But
really?
That's what I heard. Somebody told me they said that on the bottom of the ticker. So I, you know, it's one of those things where initially when you read the story, that when the story first broke, mm-hmm. it did say that, and then there was some when you actually read the story, it said he wasn't arrested, and it had it highlighted that he was not arrested.
This was a welfare call by LAPD. Okay, a welfare call. And that's just to make sure that somebody's okay. And in this case, it's Tack. And we'll see. And we certainly hope that Tack is going to be fine. The Falcons are saying this morning, the only thing they're saying, because there's not much, again, with the HIPAA laws, there's not much the Falcons can say. Plus, they don't probably know a whole lot yet at this point. And so they've just issued a statement, a broad statement, saying they wish the best for Tack. They're following on the issue. They take it very seriously. And they're going to be, you know, certainly. And I know that there's a, because you made a point earlier, Hugh, about this, the Bears repeating. Yes, one of the first reactions we have as fans is, oh, what does this mean to the team? You know, we got the draft coming up. We got free agency. What does it mean? Could Tack play? Well, we don't know any of this stuff. I mean, Tack might well be a 15-sack guy next season. We have no idea.
I'm not worried about Tack in 15-sack guys. I need him to be okay first.
Right, that's
the point. I mean, because he's 23-year-old. Second season in the NFL, and I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some Falcons execs that are going to fly out there and make sure that he's okay. Because, like I said, don't want to speculate, but it would be a good look, and I'm pretty sure it would make him feel a whole lot better if he sees faces that, you know, like Coach Quinn and guys of that nature. So, you know, first and foremost, Tack needs to be okay. That's the only thing that I care about. Be damned, sacks and all this other stuff. Just make sure he's okay first.
And that's the first thing that is absolutely the first priority. And as we get more developments, certainly, again, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know that we'll hear anything today or by the end of the week or when we'll hear anything else. But when we do, we'll certainly pass that along to you and bring you up to date on the very latest. But your first thought ought to be for the well-being and welfare of Tack McKinley. And then beyond that, we'll worry about, whatever developments happen and deal with them as they come. But that's all we can do at this point. So, again, if you get into work and somebody says, hey, did you hear that Tack got arrested? You got to set them straight, okay? Because this is not something where when you're dealing with mental health and mental health issues like this, it's critically important that you're accurate, and it means a lot to me because, Hugh, my mom, the priest, before she was the priest, she ran the Association of Retarded Citizens.
They still use that word?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. ARC. ARC. And so she was a psychologist who, before she became ordained, before she decided to go into the priesthood, she ran the ARC in the state of Texas. And so it was always something very close to me. I grew up around it with my mom working with ARC. I don't understand. I'm not a doctor, but I've seen it quite a bit, in my life. And it's something that whenever you deal with any kind of a mental issue, whatever mental issue it is, it's important to understand that, people are just working through stuff, doing the best they can. And I'm sure that Tack is doing the best they can. Best of our knowledge, according to the reporting, he didn't hurt anybody, so we don't know. All right. So we'll continue to follow it. We'll see what new developments happen and pass them along to you. But just be advised of that. All right, there's other news about the Falcons. The Falcons could, how the Falcons went out and finally made a decision to hire, well, in this case, promote Kyle Flood to the guy who was going to oversee clock management in the game. Kyle Flood, he was going to be the guy that, you talked about, how many timeouts you have, when to use the timeouts, when to challenge, and have a clock management guy in the booth, right? And you were going to have that guy. Well, they may lose Kyle Flood. Because of Steve Sarkisian going to Alabama, there are reports that Sark is going to try and snipe him away and bring him to Alabama to work with him on the staff at Alabama, and then Falcons have to reset and find somebody else to do that job. That job is going to be fascinating to me because who knew 5 years ago that that was such a position in football? What are you? I'm the clock management guy, clock management coach.
They have guys that have that title, or they have somebody that might have a special assistant to the coach,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and that might be in his job description. Since I can remember, they've always had somebody, a spotter or somebody that was in the booth that gave coach gave him cues or whatever. Say hey, to tell him, hey, you might want to review this play, or hey, you might want to challenge this. And things of that nature. They've always had guys like that. I think that, honestly, John, that this is much ado about nothing. I might be wrong, but for Coach Quinn to have for fans to have felt like Coach Quinn has had clock management issues, and for then the Falcons to come out and say that they have a clock management guy, I think this is something that people just took it and ran with it. I really do. I think that this is more so because of Coach Quinn taking over the defensive calling duties so that he can kind of keep in line with everything that he has going on. You know what I mean? I think that, this is one of those things that it's a big deal about nothing. And I know a lot of fans, they get caught up in that clock management thing, and that's been one of the Achilles' heels.
Yeah, well, there
of the
questions. Yeah,
yeah. Like I said, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that's going to get caught up in clock management and talk about this, that, and the third. But I know that a lot of fans do. Respect to those people, but I think this is a much ado about nothing, to be totally honest.
And so, I said that Sark sniped him. I don't know that for fact. I mean, he's going to go coach offensive lines. Remember, Alabama lost its offensive line coach. Brett Key to Georgia Tech, and now Kyle Flood is being rumored to go there and take over that job at Alabama. So Falcons may have to find another guy to kind of be that guy to oversee. And look, I get that a lot of people have had problems with the clock management, some clock management issues with the Falcons over the years, and clock management. My issues, while they've been clock management, Hugh, my issues have been more about the right time to challenge plays. Because you can make two mistakes in challenging plays. One is you don't challenge a play that should be challenged, or two, you challenge a play that shouldn't be. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't the interim Green Bay coach do that against the Falcons? He challenged a couple plays and he lost it. Yeah, he lost. I think it was like two back-to-back and he lost. Yeah, early in the game. Early in the game. So, yeah, I mean, I get that. I get that. And I know for a lot of people. I mean, and to be fair, sometimes in games, the way that you manage the clock is huge. It is. It really, really is. But I think that with the Coach Quinn thing and this being a big story, I don't think it's as big as being, you know, built up to be. I totally don't.
A lot to chop up between now and the weekend when we get the conference title games. A reminder that both of the conference title games are live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Rams and begins our coverage starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday on your home of Super Bowl 53. And then we'll have the doubleheader for you, Rams and you-know-who down in Sticky Town. And then the Patriots and Chiefs in ice-cold Kansas City. That game will kick off at 6:40 in the evening between those two teams.
Can I ask a question, John?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say that team that you do not like to mention, if they make it here and we're on Radio Row,
right?
Are you going to do that thing on radio?
Well, Terry has already mentioned that I probably can't. And I'm like, well, that's – I mean, I don't know how do I do that? I mean, he would rather I throw up in public.
Hey, listen, I was just wondering, man, because, you know, we're going to – like you talking about we're going to be on that big old center stage and folks going to be looking at us. And I'm just sitting there.
Why is dude hurling?
And I'm going to be sitting there talking about
be like viral.
People looking like, what is he doing? Why is he covering his mouth when he say New Orleans? And I'm going to have to sit up there and endure that.
It's just so I don't so I don't make a spectacle out of myself. You know what I mean?
Oh man, I was just wondering how you're going to handle
that
situation.
Like you do every day.
Yeah, well,
how you going to handle that situation, man? How you going to handle it?
New material.
Handle that.
All right, your chance to handle $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
winter. What's it feel like outside today? Winter to 72881.
I was brick this morning.
W-I-N-T-E-R, winter, like, or if you prefer, like Edgar Winter. Does anybody remember Edgar Winter? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, remember Frankenstein? Anyway, Edgar Winter, Frankenstein. All right, maybe I'm the only one. Edgar Winter, winter to 72881, winter to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text or drive. What are you talking about now, Arthur?
I said, yeah, like that club you mentioned.
Yeah, I looked that up, John. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I mean, but hey, listen, whatever you get into your
winter
free time.
Winter's like the club? No.
You
the lemon peel.
Edgar Winter.
Yeah?
You said the lemon peel. Whatever you're into in your free time is your business. No judgment zone. No judgment zone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just saying.
Appreciate it.
Hey, love is love. Love is love,
I
kind of
missed y'all.
Love is love. Love is love.
That place even exist anymore?
No.
No?
You wanted to come back? You sound like you're affectionate for it. What's the problem?
I had heard of it back in the day. It was just kind of new. It was different. I lived here.
Social club.
I lived here when Atlanta still had that. You know, it had kind of that deep South Baptist mentality before it became the new city that it is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there was some outcry when certain places opened up, certain establishments.
Did your guys at CNN know this about you, John?
Mm. What? That I was going to be a.
They say the lemon peel is in Doraville. That's what it says on
my
Wikipedia.
That's the one that he's referring to.
The sports and recreation spot?
No.
No. No.
You're talking about the YMCA.
No, it says nightlife. It says nightlife. Sports and recreation.
Not the same spot.
Yeah, not the same spot.
Let your mind go there, Hugh.
My mind always go there. I'm just reading the description. It says sports and recreation.
Well, define sports and recreation.
That's what I'm saying, John. Whatever you do in your free time, it's your business. This is a no judgment zone. You're good here.
My free time in those days was spent at Jim Hearn hitting golf balls and baseballs at Jim Hearn on Buford Highway. Okay, which is sadly gone.
Way to get up out of that, John.
I know. That's what I'm trying to do. Doing my best here. As we get through a lot to chop up today, we are going to be starting to talk about the Super Bowl and our poll question of the day, which is up at our Twitter at 929 The Game. Which of the teams remaining has the best chance to beat you know who? The LA Rams, do they have the best chance to beat the Swampers? Do the Patriots, do the Kansas City Chiefs, or none? because the Swampers are going to win it all. No, I mean, Terry's already said to me, he said, and he made it clear the other day, he's like, you know, when you go and you're sitting on a big stage, you know, you can't be doing your Saints thing. You got to call them what they are. I'm like, and this is Edgar Winter. Now, tell me you don't remember this song.
I remember the song. I never knew the name of the individual.
See? It's a huge old hit called Frankenstein. All right, anyway, when we get back, we're going to discuss which team we think. Plus, Mike Smith has decided to hang it up, and I want to give a shout-out to Mike Smith. We'll do that.
The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship is coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship.
Join us as we watch our paper football gladiators battle it out for $1,000.
From Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
And now, how many days is it? It's 18 on the sheet? Oh, 18 is correct. 18 is correct. 18 days away from Super Bowl 53 on your home of the National Football League's biggest game, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, it's Arthur just points at me. It's on the sheet. It's on the sheet. It's on the sheet. Yes, we are 18 days away from Super Bowl 53.
Gotta look at that sheet, man.
I know. It's right there.
You got to look at that sheet.
We are running a poll this morning on our website at 929 The Game and asking a very simple question, and we're also on our Facebook and our social media about it. And the poll is pretty simple. Which team has the best chance to beat the Saints? All right. Is it the LA Rams? Is it the New England Patriots? Is it the Kansas City Chiefs? Or is it none? Because you know who's going to win it all. Hugh, which team of these is most capable of beating the Saints?
I would probably say Kansas City. I think that, you know, because when you look at the Saints, if they're running at optimum efficiency, that they're going to be a team that you're going to have to be able to go touchdown for touchdown with. Not saying that the Rams can't do that, but we're talking about a team that I think that can beat the Saints. So I'm saying Kansas City. I don't think going touchdown for touchdown that the Rams will be able to beat Kansas City. But in that sense,
you know how they like to do power rankings. Yeah, these are the latest power rankings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the final four teams, is there one? I mean, are they so close that you can't separate them, or is there one that you think? Because this poll presupposes that the Saints are the best team left standing.
They are. I mean, you know when you look at the way that their defense is playing, you look at how resilient their quarterback is. You take last week's game, John, and how Sean Payton was able to flip the momentum and like almost immediately. That fake punt by Taysom Hill changed the outcome of that game. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Because going into that game and the way that the game started, Philadelphia Eagles had all the momentum. They were moving the ball at will. That fake punt happened. They get a penalty. Saints get a penalty. Eagles decline a penalty. They come back with a fake punt. After that, it was all downhill. It was all the Saints. The building was different. The fans, if you think about it, John, if you go back and you listen to that game, during that 14-0 run that the Eagles were on, that place was quiet. You could hear a mouse running around that spot. It was quiet. Saints fans were not saying a whole lot. They didn't have a whole lot to cheer about. But after that place got loud. It was raucous. It was hard to hear. It took the Philadelphia Eagles offense out of rhythm. The defense started to, you know, to get moved on. It was a different game. It was a totally different game. It's almost like they flipped the switch.
Well, I would say, you know, and I have no – this is just a kind of looking at it from afar here. Now, obviously, we're much closer to the fan base of our rival than we are to the fan base of the other three teams. Just, you know, logistically, they're our rival, and unfortunately for us, a lot of them live here. So, you know, they're not a lot of Rams fans who live in Atlanta, okay? They're just not. You look at it, and I would say that their fan base is probably the most positive, self-assured, the most confident fan base of the four fan bases. The Patriots fan base is probably pretty confident, but they seem to have adopted, from what I could tell on social media, sort of this this anti-role. I think they like the underdog thing that they've got going, that Tom Brady's been talking about, and the fact that people are underselling him. And are we underselling? For example, in our poll, 53% of you are saying the LA Rams have the best chance to beat the Saints, the 24%, and of course, you can make an argument, we're the only team guaranteed to play the Saints. I get that. 24% saying the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team to beat the Saints, presuming that all get a crack at them. That's what the poll is, too. And only 16% are saying the New England Patriots. Are we underselling Tom Brady?
Probably. I mean, because, you know, we all got caught up into the fact that Tom is getting a little older. I think Tom feels that, you know, disrespected. You know, you saw some reports out there where he was talking about how the Patriots are being disrespected, and he played like they were. Mm-hmm. They are still the team to beat. Me saying that the Kansas City Chiefs are the team that could beat the Saints is because I don't want the Patriots to go again. That's me being a little bit of a hater. I'm not going to lie about that. But when you talk about the quarterbacks that are in this game, I mean, realistically, it's probably – going to end up being the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that are going to be playing against one another.
Well, I have to admit, as a general football fan, I don't tend to root for individual players. It's not my style I'll root for individual players on my team, but I don't tend to root for individual players. I root for teams. However, I am fascinated by Patrick Mahomes. I am fascinated.
Yeah, I mean, because he's the young gunner. He's the up and comer. You're talking about this whole playoff series, John. You talk about this NFC and AFC championship game. You're talking about the old guard against the up-and-comers, the Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes against Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Two Hall of Fame, first ballot, no questions asked, 5 years out from retirement, Hall of Famers. Like, they're going in, no questions about it. They're both going in against two young men that have just really started their NFL career, and they are aspiring to be what these two guys are. And they have ability. More so, I would say, probably Patrick Mahomes than a Jared Goff, mm-hmm. because of, the path that Jared Goff has taken. You know, in the speculation of whether or not he was a good player or whatever, for him to be in this situation and be in this position playing against a Hall of Fame quarterback, I know he hasn't lost sight of that. This team hasn't lost sight of that. And for him, this could be the beginning of his legacy growing. It really can. Him and Patrick Mahomes, to be totally honest. And that's probably how they're both looking at it. Knocking off Hall of Fame quarterbacks to go to the Super Bowl, that's huge. In what, Patrick Mahomes' second season? Third season?
Second season.
Jared Goff's third? Man, that's huge. If you could do that, that is huge. That's a huge feather in your cap.
We were talking, of course, about Super Bowl 53 and your home of Super Bowl 53, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I do want to take a moment, if I can, to give a shout-out to Mike Smith. Now, I know a lot of Falcons fans were not happy with Mike Smith. Falcons
are
soft.
Oh, you're talking about that, Coach.
Falcons are soft. You know, I mean,
talking about somebody else.
Yeah, no, Falcons are soft. Because Mike Smith announced he is officially, you know, he was fired by Tampa Bay during the season. He announced yesterday he is officially retiring from football at his age, and he is going to go off into the sunset here. And I want to say, as a Falcons fan, to Mike Smith, to thank him very much for what he meant. He's the all-time winningest coach in Falcons history. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, how Dan Quinn took this team all the way to the Super Bowl and whatnot. Mike Smith had him right there on the doorstep. That was 17-0 against Colin Kaepernick and the Niners in that game, in a game the Falcons should have won, and I am still convinced to this day if they had gone to the Super Bowl and played Joe Flacco and the Ravens, the Falcons would have won the game. But, of course, they didn't get there, so it's a moot point. But I look at Mike Smith's body of work. He came in right after the franchise had gone through, you know, Mike Vick, losing Mike Vick, and everything that we went through with Michael Vick, right? And then the Bobby Petrino disaster, where he's putting up sticky notes in the locker room and walking out during the season. This franchise was in a tizzy, all right? I think it's fair to say. I'll just use that word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Michael Vick had happened, Bobby Petrino happened, the franchise was in disarray. Mike Smith came in, settled it down, eventually took him all the way to the lead there at halftime of the NFC title game. And even though it ended poorly for him with the 10 wins in 2 years, I think what he was able to do for the franchise, back-to-back winning seasons for the first time ever, and some of the other accomplishments, as mentioned, all-time winning as coach, just a little shout-out, because I think Mike Smith maybe probably doesn't get the due that he's deserved for what he did for the Atlanta Falcons, just because of the way it ended. So little shout out to him and the things that he was able to accomplish as a coach, and we wish him the very best. Of course, he came here from a defensive coordinator position and ended up taking a team with Matt Ryan and getting, and helping get the best out of Matt Ryan. That was kind of when Matt Ryan blossomed, was under Mike Smith. So I give him a lot of credit for all of that. It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game as we break down the Super Bowl and get ready for this. Again, our poll right now, which team has the best chance to beat the New Orleans Saints? Interesting, because I go back to the power ranking thing, Hugh. CBS Sports, was CBS? All right, I'm going to get it wrong here this morning. Let me see if I have it still on my phone. No, I don't. One of the big sites this morning said that they think that the Rams are the best team left in the playoffs, and yet I think, this is funny, I think if there's one team among the four that has the most to prove to me, it's the LA Rams. I mean, I know they played a wonderful game last week. I get that. But, I mean, they've got a great running game, and they've got Aaron Donald, and they've got, Aqib Talib, and they've got Ndamukong Suh. They've got great individual players. But of these four, I think they're, like, the least likely to win the Super Bowl. I think let me put it this way. I think of all four, if the Rams are standing up there and we have, blue and gold confetti coming down out of the, rafters of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and Jared Goff is, being asked about going to Disneyland, I think that would surprise me the most of the four.
Not really. I mean, for me personally, John, the ability, again, to be able to run the ball at this time of year is huge, especially when you look at the Rams' defense that look like they're starting to come together at the right time, and you have two running backs for the Rams who can, change the pace. I guess you could call them Thunder 1 and Thunder 2, to be totally honest, because C.J. Anderson ain't no little dude.
Mm-hmm.
And Ty Gurley, giving Ty Gurley a chance to rest. It would not surprise me if they win. Would not surprise me at all. And then you talk about Marcus Peters and this weekend. I think he tweeted something about going to get some gumbo or something. That's going to be a huge matchup. It would not surprise me at all if they knock off the Saints and make it to the Super Bowl. Nothing would surprise me. Any one of these teams that make it would not surprise me making it to the Super Bowl. Yeah, it really wouldn't this weekend.
By the way, that was NFL.com that said the Rams are the best team left standing in the playoffs, which I thought was kind of interesting. I went, okay. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe I am. Hey, Hawks, did you see what the Hawks did last night? Did you see? Oh, and they weren't the only bit of news from the NBA. There were a couple other stories that you need to know, both of which involved Twitter. We'll tell you those stories next on the Morning Show with John and Hugh on the home of Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Patterson gets the rebound, back up and blocked by Amari Spellman. And now here comes DeAndre Bembry. DeAndre comes across, dishes to John Collins. He bounces once, and he puts it up and in, and he got fouled on the play. Count that basket for Johnny Collins.
It's a score.
107-104. Hawks have regained the lead.
That was Steve Holman on 92 in the game last night, and they not only regained the lead, they started building and building and building. They had two 40-point quarters last night against Oklahoma City and put up a season-high 142 points. In beating Oklahoma City 142 to 126, and after the game, OKC was saying, we score 126, we ought to win the game. Well, yeah, ought to. You lost by 16. I mean, the Hawks put on a show last night, 18 of 37 beyond the arc.
Yeah, man, it was a great game last night. But, it's funny watching that game and watching the quarters, the second quarter and the fourth quarter, that the Hawks were able to put together 40-plus points. It felt like going into the half that OKC was feeling like, we got this. They got on a little run because I think at that point they were down 17. They came back. They had a little run. I think they got within five. I'm not sure. I think it was within five. And then, man, the managers put the foot on the gas pedal. Played with a lot of energy last night. That was the biggest thing, John. Played with a lot of energy last night.
Yeah, the Hawks did. They got a big game. Trae Young, 24 points and 11 assists. Alex Len, 24 points, 11 rebounds. But you know something? Alex Len has had some big games lately. This is the second time he's had 24 points and 11 rebounds. He had another game where he had 17 rebounds. He's put together some pretty big games. But the better news for me, Kevin Huerter had another nice game last night. He was money beyond the arc. Was the return kind of, well, it's the second game back, but Torian Prince's return, he had 13 minutes last night and 7 points in the game, and we're now seeing for the first time with Torian starting to get back. The reason he played limited minutes, Hugh, is he's got to get back into game shape.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Right, and is now the return of Taurean Prince and those three, and any more, maybe I'll extend it to kind of four with Herter, but those young players, Trey and Collins and Prince, especially those three, because that's kind of the core of your starting unit going forward.
Yeah, you're starting to see what it's going to potentially look like, John. I mean, and last night, you know, we were talking about how they had some good quality wins under their belt. I mean, last night was another one. You see when they play with energy and when they're moving the ball like they try to do. Still got to work on that turnover thing. Had 18 turnovers last night. I think Trey had 7 of his own. Still got to work on that. But you can see where the light's at the end of the tunnel for this group of guys.
And by the way, if you're counting ping pong balls, here's where the Hawks stand. The Hawks are 5th in ping pong balls at the moment, number 5. They have 14 wins. Now, I realize there are 38 games to go, but if you start to look at some of the teams below them, this is probably about where the Hawks are going to end, is somewhere around 5. Because the teams below them, you can see where some of the teams below them might just start tanking. If they're not, frankly, I think Cleveland's already tanking. The Hawks are at 14 wins. The Suns, 11 wins. The New York Knickerbockers at 10 wins. The Bulls at 10 wins. That's another team I think has given up. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are back to being the Cadavaliers. They have 9 wins and 35 losses on the season, and so I'm not sure how many. Hawks have 14 wins. I'm not sure that Cleveland's going to get much beyond 14 wins for the entire year. Maybe they get to 15 or 16 by the time it's done. So the Hawks are showing us a little glimpse of the future and what can be. And I know that there's fans out there, Hugh, who you really wanted us to get the number one pick, and who knows, maybe we'll get lucky in the lottery and get the number one pick because of Zion. But you know, here's another thing to keep in mind. Does Zion Williamson, I know, as much of an attraction as he would be, does he really fit what you're trying to do if you're going to build a team that looks a lot like the Golden State Warriors?
Oh, now you want to be practical in thinking about this thing. Because early on, well, oh my gosh, we got to get Zion. We need to take for him. Well, now you're like, where is he really going to fit into what they're trying to build? You mean running up and down the court and playing fast and moving the ball? No, not ready. You think he'll fit? You think he'll fit into this? Probably have to drop a few to be able to move up and down the court because he's a little thick. You have to drop a few.
Well, at Golden State is the model because that's where Travis Schlenk, you know, built that, and Philadelphia is another model because that's where Laurie Pierce cut his teeth as a coach. Speaking of Golden State, last night Golden State played Denver, and in the this is the score at the end of the first quarter. Right at the end of the first quarter, it was 51-38. That's not a halftime score. That's a score at the end of the first quarter not 89, 90 points in the first quarter of a game. Golden State had 51. Those two teams combined to score, Hugh, 8 points in the last 10 seconds with no fouls.
I think the biggest thing, the story of the night was like Klay Thompson had like 4 dunks. Was it 4 dunks? And everybody was kind of tripping on the fact that that's probably the most dunks that he's probably going to have all season. Because he was making reference to the fact that that he doesn't do it a lot. And he had to let the youngins know that he still got hops.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, of course, did he dribble at all? I mean, he doesn't really dribble. Does he know how to dribble? There's some big numbers being put up in the NBA. The game right now is a wide-open game because the Hawks had 142 last night. Golden State had 51 and a quarter. The Sixers scored 149 last night. Yeah, I know. Sixers had, 149 in beating Minnesota for the first time since Jimmy Butler was traded. Remember when Jimmy Butler was at practice and there was a whole thing about third stringers and first team and all that kind of stuff? And Joel Embiid tweeted out after the game, it was honored to be part of the third stringers and get a win against real NBA starters. Ha, ha, ha. 149-107. 149-107. One other tweet of note from last night. The Lakers and Bulls. At halftime, Hugh, Kyle Kuzma sent out a tweet at halftime, and a lot of people saying, why are you tweeting at halftime?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. That's a no-no. I don't even know what you're about to say, but that's a bad one right there.
All he did was tweet the hashtag, @BallIsLife. And Ball is Life is a site that posts basketball videos, sells merchandise and whatnot. But everybody asked him, why would Kuzma tweet at halftime of a game?
Who's looking at your phone at halftime of the game? You're supposed to be looking at your phone? I don't think. So, yeah. You're supposed to get in trouble behind that with a nice little hefty fine.
Yeah, so just a couple of interesting notes. So the Hawks get that big win over Oklahoma City. And Hugh's right. I mean, they've had some big wins over some pretty impressive teams of late, including that win at Philadelphia on the road. Can they make it another big win against Boston on Saturday night. Against here come the Kyrie. Celtics. On Saturday night, of course, we'll have full coverage of that game on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And tickets available for the Hawks in Boston, 7 o'clock tip Saturday night, online at Hawks.com. When we get back, does Ohio State have a quarterback problem? And should Georgia fans be mad at a superstar prep wide receiver? Because they are really angry. That's next. On the morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game, your home of Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.